You're listening to Cards to the Moon, a podcast about trading cards from both a collector and investor perspective. We hope you'll stick around for the ride as we take a deep dive into the state of the hobby, share some hot takes, hopefully some useful advice and fun stories along the way. Hey guys, welcome back to Cards to the Moon. This is episode 173 and it is the Friday edition. My name is Clark from 5cardguys.com and 5cardguys on Instagram. With me co-hosting as usual is Hyung of Integrity Sports Cards and John, who is Trade You at Recess. Okay, today I was able to chat with Raymond Lee, who is the co-founder of VeriSwap, a pretty cool app if you're into trading sports cards online. But we'll get to that interview in just a second. Off the top, I want to talk about the MLB debut patch cards that are starting to appear online, with Breakers opening up their allotted Breakers Delight 2023 Topps Chrome Update boxes. And the Breakers Delight boxes are the only product that the actual MLB debut patch card is inserted into, because the box is reinforced with plastic to help prevent damage. So that's the reason. The rest, right, of the MLB debut patch cards, and I'm doing this preamble because I got a lot of comments saying what I'm about to say now, which is that the rest of the MLB debut patch cards will be in packs as a redemption card, but it will come with the option to send it off for grading either to Beckett, SGC, or CGC, as John previously recommended they should do in a past podcast. So I feel like Fanatics is listening to this podcast. I feel like they ripped off your idea, John. anyway, so yeah, like I said, the redemption cards will be found in the hobby, jumbo, and retail boxes, just to be clear. So what do you guys think about the rollout of these highly anticipated MLB debut patch cards?
Something to note, I believe PSA is not included in that, right?
Yes.
And
good point.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm assuming that's their competitors, with Collectors Universe and Fanatics being competitors and not offering it to PSA, I'm guessing.
I also read somewhere that, you know, some of these cards are going to be worth big bucks, right?
And then the upcharges would be right. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But so they don't, I have a question with this, Clark. This sounds a little funny, because so the Breakers get the live cards because they're protected. Mm-hmm. So are they guaranteeing like PSA 10s right out of, or like, I guess we should say BGS gem mints or SGC gem mints out of these redemptions, one, and then these protected boxes? What's the difference? Why not just make them all redemption, or why not just make them all, live, I guess. And we're talking about the weighing the packs. I guess that kind of solves it, but.
Right.
On the other side,
that's true.
Little kind of.
Well, the bigger question is, for me, I think, if they're actually putting actual cards in the Breakers Delight boxes, how do they choose which ones?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because they're one of one.
Is it just random, or all the the pitchers go in the Breakers box, or what?
Well, there's a Drew Magi.
Yeah.
He was pulled first. So he's a batter. So there you go.
And then there's a one sold for $2,000 as a pitcher. So
And I can't even remember his name.
Yeah,
relief pitcher, I think. So apparently that's the floor. $2,000 for one of one MLB debut patch cards for a relief pitcher. That's the floor that we're looking at. But excellent points. Yes, PSA is not part of it. And we could speculate why, as we just did. But otherwise, what do you think in terms of, you know, it being redemption cards and all that?
I like the idea, to be honest. Like, I like the idea that you could submit it right away, but I think a lot of people are expecting gem mint cards straight from the factory, because that doesn't automate a gem mint card. It doesn't mean that it's gem mint coming straight from the factory, but that's the question. Will it come back? What if it comes back like a PSA 7, or somebody submits the redemption and it comes back a SGC 8? Right. What was the point of like the protection of the Breakers boxes, and you know?
That's true. Yeah. Didn't think about that.
Just pondering, you know, like to me it doesn't make sense. Like, why do Breakers get it?
But I guess it goes back to what you said too, right? Like, it prevents the weighing the packs.
Right.
Especially if it's in retail. Like, I don't know if that includes blasters or not, but yeah, you know, that's one reason why. But you're right, because I think the main point of this was to protect the integrity of the card.
Right. Yeah.
So if it doesn't come back a PSA 10 or BGS 9.5, yeah, then what's the point? Yeah, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
How do we know that the breakers won't weigh the boxes?
I don't even know how Breakers Delight boxes work. Like,
I think the format's two autos. They have two autos per box, and it's more like
it's all the same weight. Because what if Breakers, what if Breakers set aside certain boxes?
Well, they're online orders, right? So they're being shipped out, I believe.
I see. Oh, okay. Well, you guys know my thoughts. I mean, I've always kind of wanted this idea where one of ones. The integrity of one of ones are protected so that you can. Well, actually, I had a different idea in terms of like the redemption, like any redemption. But I remember always thinking like one of one chit. I think I mentioned a long time ago to you guys, maybe not on the pod, but yeah, one of ones coming out pre-graded, that makes sense to me. I think that's what people would like to see. But I mean, I guess it does kind of take away from the experience of like getting it in hand. From a pack, like, I mean, that's a pretty darn cool experience. So it kind of goes both ways, but yeah, it's a Hyung brings up an interesting question. Cause what if one of one comes back a BGS 6.5 or something ridiculous?
Well, I mean, what you just said too, John, I think is exactly why they put some in those Breaker Delight boxes, because it is more exciting and it's better for marketing to see Breakers break it right out of a pack or, you know, out of the product, right? Rather than seeing, you know, Joe Schmo, average collector, ripping in, like, it's that blue redemption card. It's like, oh, you know, you can only get so jazzed. I mean, it'll be exciting, but it's not the same, like you said, as, like, actually having that one-of-one card in your hand when you actually rip it out of a pack. Right. So maybe it's for marketing purposes they give a few of those MLB debut patch one of ones to the breakers just to get people more excited about it. You know, there's so many questions, but overall it's kind of cool actually to see people getting excited about this. Like, everyone's tweeting about it, everyone's on Instagram. You know, when I saw that relief pitcher, I should really find out his name. This is what which guy it is,
the $2,000 pitcher.
Yeah, the $2,000 MLB debut patch 101 pitcher. Even when I put that on my Instagram on Five Card Guys, that's like, I think it's over 400 likes now. Like, people are getting excited about this product.
On the flip side, though, I've been reading some comments. I've seen a lot of, I guess, unhappy people about this product.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, but I will say I did watch a break. And it was pretty boring, I'm not gonna lie. Especially people are saying jumbo boxes are kind of like the ripoff. Retail is kind of like your best bet, they're saying. And then hobby next, and then obviously the delight, and then jumbo the worst in terms of hits and colors. That's what I've heard, whether that's true or not. I could see it though, because retail you might pull something that's more valuable, because these hobby boxes and jumbo boxes are pretty expensive for a Topps Chrome update.
You're paying the premium set, for the auto, that might not even be worth anything.
Yeah, so, and there's a lot of pitcher autos. There's a lot of
You get extra
and,
packs.
And it's the rookie debut of a lot of these, like Adley, Gunner. Like, we've already had Topps Chrome, so Topps Chrome update's not kind of like the wanted set, I guess, in terms of the top-notch guy. And then the one-of-ones only have Volpe and Walker. There's no Corbin Carroll or anything like that. Right. So the checklist, I think, is okay. I think it would be a fun rip, but I think from what I'm hearing, they're not happy with the jumbo and hobbies in terms of your chances.
Yeah, this is what happens when you put the ultimate chase into Topps Update. You guys know how I feel about Topps Update.
Well, we forgot to also mention, of course, David Adams put up another bounty for the Volpe MLB debut patch, 150K this time.
I'm telling you, there's a conspiracy behind that too.
and 100K for the Jordan Walker MLB debut patch. So there's a couple big bounties out there. So, you know, all that being said, well, Hyung, you're going to say something before I close the segment.
No, I'm not going to talk about the conspiracy. I'm just going to talk about Jeff Wilson made a comment. Would you sell it? Like, would you sell it? Would you take the bounty or sell it privately? And everybody's like roasting Jeff Wilson. Like, we take the bounty. You ain't gonna sell it for over 150K. And everybody was kind of going back and forth. But that's all I had to say about it.
Yeah,
I would absolutely take the bounty.
I would take the bounty.
Of course, 100%. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, with all the with all that said about people being some people expressing their disappointment, I feel like we got to open.
Oh, we got to open.
Okay, let's do it soon. Yeah,
people's opinions have no bearing on whether I rip or not. Like, I don't care about what people think about it. I'm still ripping.
We know the sun will come out tomorrow and Hyung will rip Topps Chrome products.
We always say best case scenario, that's content. Or sorry, worst case scenario.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, now let's play the interview I had earlier this week with Raymond Lee, co-founder of VeriSwap. All right, we have another great guest today on the pod. His name is Raymond Lee, who is the co-founder of VeriSwap, a digital platform and app where you can trade sports cards online. And there's measures that VeriSwap takes to ensure the trade is safe, and we'll get into all of that in a sec. But Raymond himself, I know, is quite the collector, so I'm looking forward to connecting with him today. Raymond, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Clark.
Yeah, great to have you. Okay, before we get into learning about VeriSwap, which I'm actually excited about personally because the app is now available in Canada where we're located. So that's great. But first, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, how you got started in the hobby, what you collect personally, and of course, leading up to how you came up with the idea to build VeriSwap.
Yeah, for sure. So I started collecting when I was 5, started with Pokemon cards. So
okay.
And back then, Pokemon was really big. So my mom would take me to the flea markets and we would buy fake Pokemon cards. And I would then bring the Pokemon cards to school and my friends and I, we would trade them. Fast forward, 15, 20 years, I was working in finance. I was working, long hours. I hated my job. So I quit my job. One day I was at home scrolling the internet. And, I saw a post that Gary Vee had made about sports cards, being a good investment. So I kind of looked into it more and more, joined NBA Hotspot, which is a Facebook group that I'm still part of today, and kind of like looked into browsing about basketball cards. One thing led to another, went to the National in 2019, and, immediately got hooked.
Nice.
And yeah, so I've been in, I would say like, in the hobby, seriously for about 4 years, at this point. And personally, I collect Kobe cards. So, Kobe cards, one of my favorite cards in my collection, is my, Kobe in flight gold, from 2019. It's his last cards that he signed. I would say that's kind of my grail in my collection, but, also like, kind of his early cards as well. I like cards that are like very like condition sensitive. One of my other favorites is a Kobe Topps Chrome Refractor, and it's perfect. There's no greening. There's no hulking. It's completely shiny, and there's no...
Awesome. Yeah. No, that's cool. No, I'm glad I got to know more of your story. You mentioned already you really got into it in the last 4 or 5 years. So before then, you kind of forgot about sports cards, trading cards in general, and you just dove right in. Is that how it worked out?
Yeah, exactly. So I was just kind of, back then I was still in college. I was working, a job, kind of just doing college things. So I was really busy doing other things.
Right. Okay. It's really quite similar to a lot of the people we interview and especially our stories as well. There's nostalgia of getting back into cards and just the industry kind of blowing up in a way that few could have probably predicted. But yeah, here we are. And then this is why we're connecting too, because you've been building something within the industry, which I think is very useful. And of course, that's VeriSwap. And I love the idea of VeriSwap because going to card shows, the fun for me, and I'm sure for a lot of collectors, is not just buying and selling, but making trades. And I know trade nights are always popular as well for that reason. But I guess the question is, doing it in person and doing it online, they're two different experiences, right? So I'm sure the one big question is, when making trades online, is how do I know the trades are secure, right? And I was wondering if you can talk about how VeriSwap does that. And also, are you finding more collectors more comfortable with making trades online now rather than in person?
Yeah, that's a good question. So how do we make trading secure? So every package that people trade goes through our headquarters. So we inspect, we verify everything to make sure that the packages contain what they say they contain, right? So there's no kind of like vouching system where you kind of have to like trust who the other trader is. Both packages come in, we have both packages in front of us, make sure that serial numbers match, make sure that the slab's conditions are good, and then we ship them out. So we have a 100% scam-free guarantee. You're going to get the cards that you trade for. In terms of, sorry, what was the second question?
Have you found more collectors more comfortable with the idea of just trading online rather than in person, which we're all used to
100%, more doing? Yes. So I actually made this product because I saw that a lot of collectors were uncomfortable with trading their collections online. I would sometimes agree to deals. I used to be a card trader myself. I would do deals on Facebook and Instagram, and last minute, a lot of these deals would fall through because there wasn't that level of trust between the two parties. So now a lot of that same pool of people, they feel more secure in dealing online because they know that there's a third party intermediating the transaction.
Yeah, no, I love that. I'm still hesitant to trade bigger cards, especially on Facebook and Instagram. Some of my friends do it all the time. So it's given me a little bit more confidence, but something like this is more, it's definitely more something I'm more comfortable with. So I'm glad you guys developed VeriSwap. And of course, having that peace of mind is pretty big for a lot of collectors. Can you just tell us about the fee structure? You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I read on your website, VeriSwap takes a small percentage of the overall trade value. And if that's right, I guess the next logical question would be to ask, how is that trade value determined? Do the collectors decide that, or how's that work?
Yeah, so the collectors decide what each of their cards is priced at. We recommend pricing at comps because we realize that increases the speed of transactions. If both sides are fair, then it's much easier to arrive at a quick conclusion. Our fee is 1.5% of the total trade value. So Clark, say for example, we're trading a $500 card for your $500 card, right? Each side would pay 1.5% of $1,000. So each side would pay $15 to VeriSwap. And this covers, this covers shipping fees for lower end transactions. If you think about it, we cover priority mail, we ensure everything, make sure everything is good.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. All right. And then for higher end cards, is there a different fee structure or is it similar?
It's similar. It's a little bit lower. It's around 1.25% for every dollar over $10,000. But it's approximately 1.5%, 1.4%.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that. I mean, we're all used to the 12, 11, 12% eBay charges on when we buy and sell. So that's quite the difference. Off the top of your head, can you think of a couple of big trades that were made on VeriSwap since you guys launched the app? And can you tell me when you launched the app, actually?
Yeah, so we launched the app in February of 2022. So we're just about coming on to a year.
Wow.
Largest trade. We actually have one of our largest trades 2 days ago. So it was a $70,000 trade. It was a Kobe Bryant 2017 Flawless Patch Auto out of 10 in BGS 9.5. Massive card.
Wow.
The patches were amazing. Three color patches on both sides. It was like the dual window.
Amazing.
And it was traded down for, it was like basically around 10 modern cards. There was an Anthony Edwards Prism Mojo PSA 10. There was I don't remember the exact cards in that trade, but it was, it was basically around a 10 for one trade. We see on the platform is a lot of people, they do bigger trade downs compared to, I guess, what they would do in real life or on Facebook, because our platform makes it much easier to kind of visualize those cards in front of you. If you're doing the trade, on Facebook, you kind of have to like send like 20 camera full photos in your camera roll and kind of like, decide which ones you want over chat. So we found that more people are trading down in larger quantities on our platform.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I got a chance to look at VeriSwap on my laptop here, and it seems pretty easy to use. Are you looking to always improve on it? Like, is there things that you still want to do or to add to it for the future?
Yes. So we're creating a new feature in the next couple of weeks called Rooms, which basically allows more niche collectors to hang out and have, you know, just have a place to hang out when they're not doing transactions. We want to start with TCG, but then also go to, you know, other like more niche categories like F1, hockey. I know hockey is not niche in Canada, but it is niche in America. Right. So, you know, we plan on making these more like specific collector rooms for you know, individual collectors.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. I mentioned off the top, the app is now available in Canada. I saw your Instagram post the other week, which is why I really wanted to get in touch with you again after not being able to over the summer. But does that mean, and this is for the benefit of my fellow Canadian collectors, that we Canadians can trade with our American friends and vice versa? And are there any tax implications for doing cross-border trades, or does that really only apply to buying, selling like we do on eBay?
That's a good question. So the tax implications come, obviously you have to pay custom taxes when you get the card from America to Canada. So that kind of depends on, you know, I guess how the collector typically does it. We leave it up to the collector. In terms of trading, yeah, now Americans can trade with Canadians as well as Canadians trading with other Canadians. So we're working with a few partners in Canada to basically handle packages within Canada. So say, for example, Clark, if you were to do a deal with an American person, right, you would be shipping that card to our partner in Canada so you don't have to ship cross-border. You know, the American person would then ship, you know, to the American, our American hub, and then we would handle all the international cross-border shipments.
That's great. Yeah. So you guys have that set up already, or are you, you're beginning to set that up? Okay. Fair enough. I can't wait till till that's underway. Speaking of Canada, I know you came up last week to the Sports Card Expo in Toronto, and unfortunately we couldn't meet up in person, but how did you find the show? You know, it's the biggest one here in Canada, and you could be honest, how do you find Canadian collectors having met them over the last over the past week?
Yeah, I love the show. Like, I did not expect the show to be as large as it was. I previously gone to a show in Australia outside of the country, and it was, you know, maybe 1/10 the size. I think it definitely lived up to my expectations. In terms of collecting community, like, I felt like the collecting community was like way tighter than the collecting community in America. For example, like after the show on Saturday, me and a few guys, a few of the CSC guys, as well as like Sluggers, Nelson Yu, a bunch of those, you know, people
right.
who've been collecting, you know, in Canada for a while. We all went out to dinner, and, you know, like, they told me there was like, yeah, like they do this like every time they go to a show, right? You don't really hear that in, you don't really hear that in America, right? It's people kind of just do their own thing. But I was like, you know, in Canada, it's much more of a, like, there's more of like a community feel, I would say. Like, everyone kind of knows each other, and like people, they hang out outside of cards, which I think is like really cool.
Yeah, it's funny you naming those names. I know each one of them, so it's definitely a smaller community.
Yeah, for some point.
Yeah, and but it's a growing community. Was this your first time at the Sports Card Expo, or did you come here before?
I'd gone to Toronto a few times, but never for cards.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. I mean, if you've gone to it before, and, you know, we've been to several now in Toronto, seems to be growing every year. So that's always a good sign as well. Last question for me is really, you know, a more general question I like to ask each of our guests. Of course, in the hobby right now, nothing was as big as it was in 2021 when the pandemic kind of blew things up and things are kind of settling down. How do you envision the hobby in the next 5-10 years? Not just for Veriswap, but, you know, for collectors in general, like yourself?
I do envision the hobby expanding. I think with Fanatics entering and kind of like their expertise in terms of like marketing and operations, like I do think that they will grow the footprint of the hobby. I think so far, like, they've demonstrated good proof that they've done that already. Like, in August, I was in New York. I went to one of those like Topps rip nights, and everything was like very well executed. And I think the marketing was done very well for that. So I definitely think the hobby will grow. I think that the proportion of collectors will also likely increase, you know, as more people enter. We're kind of seeing that on Veriswap. Like, you know, initially it was kind of like, you know, a mix between like collectors and flippers. But now we're seeing the proportion of collectors grow, which is something that I personally love to see, because it means that there's more longevity. You know, there's less risk of people kind of just staying for a few months and then leaving, right? It's more of a long-term play.
Yeah, totally agree with you about the general state of the hobby, and I'm sure or hopefully our paths will cross, and we'll actually get to meet in person next time we're at the same card show. Raymond, it's been great talking with you and getting to know a little bit more about Veriswap, and honestly can't wait to start making trades on Veriswap myself and see how that goes.
Thanks for having me, Clark. It was a pleasure being on today.
Hey, thanks for listening to Cards to the Moon. We'd really appreciate you subscribing to our podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also connect with each of us on Instagram at 5cardguys, or you can follow Hyung at Integrity Sports Cards, or John at TradeU at Recess. You can also check us out at 5cardguys.com. Thanks again, and hope to connect soon.